At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday evening edition of The Yard. It's been a very, 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 very busy few days. I'm actually really looking forward to recording this show. I feel like I've done nothing but talk to people and write and return texts and call people and send texts and things like that. And none of that has to do with Christmas. But here grinding for you guys, trying to get you some information, man. The message board's been hopping. The content's been rolling out over jeanspage.com. And let me make my little pitch here. Again, if you're looking for a last-minute gift idea, if you or your family or your friends want to really know what's going on with Mississippi State, look no further than jeanspage.com. You can still get our special. It's going to run through just after New Year's at 50% off the annual subscription price. And that's a gift that gives you all year long, right? All year long. And, you may buy somebody something they wear once or twice, but you get them a JeansPage subscription. The Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. And it's something they can check in on every day. They can be part of that on the message boards, or they can just read our content. What's interesting, too, the numbers on that are pretty crazy, too. There's most of our people just read the content. They rarely post on the message boards. It's true. It's true. It's been that way for a long time. But, we've been rolling it out, man. I don't know what everybody else does. We work for a living. And so we've already got, I think, 9 stories today, the Monday before Christmas. And we're going to continue to work. Now, I'm going to give most of the crew off the next couple of days. But you know me. I can't leave alone, so we'll still have some content. It's maybe not quite as much Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but we'll have some content for you. You know, sometimes you're going to be looking around looking for something to read. You're going to know the latest updates in the portal. We're going to update you on everything that's happened over the weekend. Remind you, too, it's been a busy, busy, busy week for Dana down at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. People starting to panic a little bit. I've been warning you, Christmas is sneaking up on you. If you need a unique gift idea, True Rest Float Spa Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can go by, or you can just call 662-268-7601. And, we can get it to you. You know, very unique gift idea. If you got friends that have chronic pain or social anxiety, or somebody just needs a break, which is me a lot of times, floating could be for you. So it's a good thing, right? And, of course, got books everywhere. I'll be tomorrow, if you're in Starkville, I'll be downtown from 10 until 3 at Book Martin Cafe signing books. I just can't stand the thought of any Bulldog out there that I can get to that needs a signed copy of The Dude or any of my 7 books, but they don't have it. Like, oh, I missed him when he was here a couple days ago. No, I'm there again tomorrow. We got a change of plans, so I'm going to go down there and spend some time with them. And then I'll come home and I'll pump up some content for you. Yeah. Listen, our kids are coming in for New Year's, so we're going to celebrate then. I have a lot of people that say, Steve, you need to take some time and slow down a little bit, spend time with your family. Well, I'm going to. It just won't be this week, you know. But we'll enjoy being together. I mean, that's the best thing about the holidays, right? I mean, it's just kind of being together and maybe seeing some people you don't see very often. And as you guys know, I got a new grandson on the way in June, and so I get a chance to be with my grandgirls. The last Christmas that we'll have with just the two of them. Right? I mean, you never know where life's going to take you, but it kind of marks the occasion, right? So we're excited about that. I know you guys are too. The current plan, too, is to come back tomorrow evening. I'll record Wednesday show tomorrow evening. That's the plan anyway. You never know what the wife's got cooked up. But so you guys that will be traveling, you know, on Wednesday, you'll have your show. You know, you're not going to be without that. I know many of you would say, Steve, it'd be okay if you missed a show. We're fine. It's what I do, man. It would bother me the rest of the week. So you'll get 3 shows this week. And listen, I hope that you guys have a great holiday season. It makes no difference to me what you celebrate. I just hope that you're celebrating family and taking some time to yourself and, getting some much-needed downtime. So there we go. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I know you do too, because you know what to expect when you go in there. There are a lot of places out there that are kind of giving you less and asking you to pay more. I respect that Bulldog Burger Company is not one of those. Integrity in pricing, incredible service, great selection. There's something for everybody in the family. You know, you go some places and you got to kind of compromise. You don't have to at Bulldog Burger Company. There are so many great options to choose from. There's something for everybody, and everybody needs to have those spring rolls. I have seen you and some of your families too, and you're not getting enough spring rolls. I'm just saying it. I'm being your friend. I'm just going to tell you before somebody else does. Have more spring rolls. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. It's a true story. Part of our beauty care regimen here in Starkville. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. So if you're in town or on the way to town, there is a location that can accommodate you. Put your feet under their table. Let them take care of everything. Have a great restaurant quality hamburger. Have the BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. It's completely up to you. I'm not judging, right? But the reality of all of this is that you need somewhere to go eat, whether it be a night out with friends, a business luncheon or whatever, and Bulldog Burger Company can accommodate you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's get you caught up to date here. Okay, a few things we're going to go about here. The first thing we'll do is, okay, let's start with our new commitments. Okay, now we picked up a signee yesterday and three portal commitments. And so it's interesting to me how this thing kind of plays out, right? And you know, so we were chasing Cody Gray, the big tight end from Elon. You know, we were talking about how great that would be, even if he's not a skilled pass catcher. And he ends up going to NC State. Stays close to home. Hey, I get it. I understand a lot of these guys that go in the portal, they're trying to get closer to home or stay closer to home. You know, you never know. Maybe they got a relationship they're serious about. Because when I was 20 years old, I had already met the love of my life, and I would have moved to Alaska to stay with her. Right? That's what mattered to me. So you never know what's going on in young people's lives. But I was intrigued, like many of you. I was like, man, to have an extra tackle, basically. You know, to have a true attached tight end that could also catch some passes was intriguing to me because we haven't had that. I love Seydou, I do, but he's not the biggest dude. We went out and probably got the biggest dude. We got the number one junior college tight end in the country, according to 247 Sports, Amika Aloy out of Kahoma Community College. I'm familiar with that neck of the woods, as many of you are as well. 6'9", 250 pounds, and I'll tell you this, these are the things that you can't get from interviews. As well-spoken a young man as I have ever talked to. This kind of guy, you want him to come to media. You do. You want him to come to media because he's a good talker. A lot of these young people at times don't really have the wherewithal to kind of handle the interview process. As I look at this commitment list, I got some videos I got to plug into. So we'll do that when we get done. But Amika, great guy. And he was the guy that got offered back after the spring evaluation period. And we kind of had to hold him at bay for a little while. He's been wanting to be a Bulldog for a long time. And now he gets a chance. You know, with Cody picking NC State, all of a sudden, okay, we still have this need. And to go get a guy that's 6'9", 250, a former high school wide receiver at a McIntosh High School there in Peach City, Georgia. And he also has a basketball background. He was recruited as a D1 basketball prospect and a D1 football prospect, but had to take a junior college route. And now here he is. What I love about that, number one, this is a guy that understands the nuances of the throw game. This is a guy that understands how to stretch the field, how to use his body, got an incredible catch radius. I mean, just throw it up there, let him go get it. You talk about a walking mismatch. I mean, how many linebackers do you know that are skilled at defending a guy that is 6'9"? He's going to be 6 to 7 inches taller than just about every linebacker he faces. Are you going to put a safety on that guy? Give me a break. It's tough. Not to mention the fact that he's a basketball guy, so he could be a real weapon in the red zone. This is a guy that knows how to elevate. You got a lot of bigger guys out there that don't have that basketball background that really struggle with that aspect of football. I love the take because I think it's so intriguing, but also, too, this is a young man that really wants to be here. This is a young man that has a very unique skill set. Guy was also recruited by Alabama in this process. They didn't offer him, but they were intrigued by him. And, you know, I think, hey, with all that we're having to do right now, if I can go out there and get a guy with that raw athleticism and he wants to be here, I got to make that call. So I'm excited about it, and I'm trying to get all of his offers. They were all G5s other than us. And so we are taking a little bit of a risk there. But if I'm going to take a risk, give me a risk the guy at 6'9", 250. Give me that guy. Right? It's not like I'm taking a guy that maybe it was a jumbo X. It's going to have to learn the nuances of playing the tight end position. You know, he's had some snaps doing that. And if you look at the video of him out there, it's freakish. I mean, it really is. It's freakish. And you talk about a guy that can be an eraser for a mistake. And you got a quarterback under duress. And how many times did you see it last year where the ball's just a little bit off target? Give me that guy with that expansive catch radius. I love it. I do. I love the take, and he's so interesting to me. So incredibly interesting to me. All right, let's get a little deeper into this thing. Now, if you kept up at all at jeanspage.com over the weekend, you know Kobe Keenum took the visit to Mississippi State, and then he went to Ole Miss. And, of course, some of our fans that tend to skew more negatively than others, like, oh, well, he'll never come back. Now, to be fair, Ole Miss was very high on Kobe Keenum out of high school. And he spent some time on the campus, and there was some talk about that. I remember talking to some people kind of closer to the situation, like, ah, you know, he's a country kid, but I kind of get the sense he'd love to be a preppy. You know, there were times in my life I wanted to be a preppy, too, because I wanted to date girls that were attracted to preps. But the reality of it is, you know, there's some girls that I grew up with that I was very attracted to that they were chasing the guys in the, you know, in the Levi's 501 Blues with the Dexters and no socks, and they wore polo and chewed, you know, Red Man gum, whatever it was. Anyway, they chewed that cinnamon gum, whatever it is. I was chasing the girls in the smoking section. So we had a different alignment. But I understand at some point you meet some cute girl and you think, maybe I need to transform who I am. It's the reason I quit playing rock stuff and started playing dance stuff. Because the girls I wanted to date, Dr. Evil quotes, were a little bit different. And so Kobe Keenum visits State, visits Ole Miss. We survived the visit to Ole Miss, and now he's a Bulldog. And I texted with him a little bit after his Ole Miss visit, and he was a little stressed. And he goes, I just don't want to talk about any of this stuff right now. I'm kind of sitting down with my family, going over my options, and I'm going to make a decision soon. Well, he picks Mississippi State. And this is a guy that probably should have been at Mississippi State all along. If you remember, there was a lot of discussion about him flipping down the stretch from Kentucky to Mississippi State. He kept showing up at our games. He kept hanging out with Mason Miller on the sidelines in pregame. You know, it felt right. Well, you know, Cody Kennedy got a lot of connections in that neck of the woods over in Alabama, so it made sense. You know, so we finally get him, and he's a guy that's he's got multiple years of eligibility left for whatever that matters these days. So that was good. It's like, hey, Steve, a couple commitments today. Things are good. Well, then I get tipped off that Malik Sela out of Texas A&M. Now, he visited us, one of the first visitors that we brought in. He is a 6'6", 245 guy, another guy with a very freakish wingspan. We don't have anybody that looks like him. Now, I've seen some of our self-loathing segment of the fan base get out there and kind of pan his stats. Listen, I understand some of that too. I want guys that are productive, but let's be honest. If he was uber productive at Texas A&M, he wouldn't be available to us in the portal. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. You know, we can tell the truth on the Boneyard. But Sela is a body type that we've never had. He has been a reserve at A&M, and let's be honest about it, A&M has had one of the better defensive lines in the country the last couple of years. So there's no shame in being a two-deeper at A&M. You know, it's not like being, you know, playing in front of a depleted defensive line like we had this year. But Sela was a guy that was highly, highly recruited at a high school. Guys, he was a 95.9, nearly a 96, almost a five-star with some services. Now, was he a bit overrated out of high school? Probably. I mean, the college production or lack of it would kind of lend itself to thinking, you know what, maybe he was a bit overvalued out of high school because of his length and his size. You know, maybe he hadn't learned the technique that he needs to be successful. But when I see this kid getting off the bus, I began to think about, you know, what we've played with in recent years at defensive end. Not a lot of guys that could bend. Not a lot of guys that could get hands up in passing lanes. You know, we had kind of some short-bodied and short-limbed guys out there. And so, yes, he is a piece. Do I think that he is a difference maker? Is he a guy that's going to come in here and just take over the defensive front and create some pass rush on his own? I don't believe that. But I think that he is a piece for us. And I like the take, and I can tell you, he's a guy that was super excited, too, about coming to Mississippi State. Wanted to stay in the Southeastern Conference, took multiple visits. I think the final three were SMU, Syracuse, and Mississippi State. And he really wanted to stay in the SEC, and State gives him that opportunity and a chance to get more playing time. Our final commitment of the day, at least publicly, Carson Lee, offensive lineman from Eastern Michigan, committed during his visit, and we wait and talk to guys after their visits. And so spoke with him today at the Atlanta airport. His dad, his mom, his brother came. And the story that I want to tell you about Carson Lee, and he was surprised that I knew this, and he was glad that we talked about it. He even texted me later and said, hey, thanks for mentioning my brother. So Carson Lee flies home to Colorado from Michigan to watch his brother play in the state championship game, misses the awards banquet at Eastern Michigan to do so, missed his own banquet with his own team to go be with his family to watch his brother win a state championship. It's absolutely the right decision. Absolutely the right decision. And I think it says so much about him as a young man, but also, too, about his family. And I asked him about it. And he goes, and this, the article's free. You can go read it for free at jeanspage.com. It's out there on my socials, too. It's a free story. And it should be a free story. We're celebrating something like that. But Carson Lee says, you know what? How could I tell him what a good big brother I am and what a role model I am if I don't make a sacrifice to go support him? You know, there are so many young people that are caught up in college athletics these days that make me worry about our future. Not to be the get off my lawn guy, but there are some people out there I just think, you know what, man, this is not good. And then you talk to a kid like Carson Lee and your hope is kind of restored a little bit. Hey, this is a young man that gets it. That's an important aspect of this, getting people that understand that there is a bigger thing. One of my biggest concerns about the portal thing, and I thought about this extensively, and I've shared some of this on the show. You know, when you're going to have guys out here making $40,000 and $50,000 a month, yes, $40,000 and $50,000 and sometimes more a month, more than many of you make in a year, there is going to be a standard of living that is created that is not possible to be maintained unless these guys turn pro. It's just not possible. And I thought about that, right? Like, I remember the first new car that I bought. I bought a 95 Toyota Camry. Black. Loved that car. Loved it. Kept it until I had to trade it in. And then I traded it in and, you know, bought another vehicle. And I was grateful to have had the trade in. But when I think about this, let's say you're out here, you know, you're buying... I don't know. Maybe you go buy a Range Rover. I don't know what you're going to do with your money. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe you go buy a Hellcat, which is a waste of money, but, you know, it's their money. Then all of a sudden you get done playing college football and you got this car and eventually it breaks down. And then now you're making $50,000 a year and you got to go trade that car in and you're having a downgrade. And I think about the fact that, you know, you're living here, you may have some fancy apartment. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to afford that with a new standard of living when you're working for a living. And so what level of depression? We always talk about mental health and things like that. What's that going to do for those young people? You can begin to think, man, I peaked in college. I'll never, ever have that earning potential again. I think it sets a very interesting precedent about life. And I think there's probably maybe a niche market out there for some financial planners to get involved with college athletics and teach these young people to be responsible for their money. If you handle it the right way, you get a head start at life. Like if you save your money and you live, you know, like a college student, I'm not saying you got to be, you know, living off ramen noodles, but if you just kind of have a moderate style of living and you bank that money away, well, you're going to graduate debt-free. And then when you settle somewhere, you can put that money in a house and you can set yourself up and really get ahead in life. Instead of you having to buy that fixer-upper as a starter house, you're going to be in a much better situation. But trust me, that's not what's happening. I can tell you, there's some guys even connected to us that as soon as they get that signing bonus, it burns a hole in their pocket. And so somebody out there, I think, has got to be very careful kind of preparing these young people for life. I think it's very, very important. All right, so Mississippi State now with 14 transfer commitments, public anyway. And yeah, I'm repeating it a second time, just so you know. So 14 public commitments. As it stands right now, the Bulldogs' number 8 transfer class in the country. You know, one time we were 1, then we were 5, and, you know, we're 8. Now, nobody expects State to finish in the top 10, at least I don't. We got a chance, if the cards fall just right for us, to do that. But there are some people around us that have landed some really big commitments, too. And there are some other people out there that would say, well, Steve, we're up there because of quantity rather than quality. Well, let me just tell you this. Texas Tech is the number 1 portal class in the country. They have 17 commitments. LSU is 2nd with 13 commitments. Ole Miss is 3rd with 15 commitments. Auburn 4th with 14. Kentucky 5 with 14. Wisconsin 6 with 15. So we're right around everybody else. It's not like we've got 20 commitments and they have 2. And you're like, oh, look at us, and we're beating our chest. You know, that's just not the case. Missouri's right behind us with 12 commitments, and I suspect that they will pass us. They have 1 commitment that hasn't been rated yet, and so once he gets rated, that'll likely push us to 9. But here's the thing. I'm not really as concerned about a ranking as I am winning football games. Now, of course, hey, the higher-ranked players typically win at a higher rate. But the reality of it is, this is about filling our needs, not making headlines. We want to make our best headlines on the football field, not on signing day. You know, we want to be back in a ball game next year. We want the golden egg back. You know, so if you really want to evaluate a portal class, tell me what they did on the field as a collective group wearing maroon and white. Do I feel that we're on our way to meeting our needs? Yes, I do. And there are a few more names that I want to discuss with you. Names that I think are ones to watch. You guys, if you've kept up with it, and I shared with you guys after we did Krovenhoek's crystal ball. Listen, guys, I take my crystal ball very seriously. I didn't always, but I do. I thought, you know what, hey, I owe it to you guys to give a good effort. And sometimes things move so fast that I don't have time to go put the crystal ball pick in. And I think that's BS anyway. Like, you don't do it the day of, right? You do it ahead of time. Some people can say, okay, well, I understand that. Okay. So Steve is expecting this guy to go to Mississippi State. I say that because I think it's important for you guys to understand that I'm not one that's going to play games with the crystal ball. Now, looking at, I got to go back and look at some of this stuff too. I like to go evaluate myself. But it says I'm 25 of 30 for 2025, and I don't know if that's accurate. I missed some things early on. But since we did Luke Krovenhoek, of course, you know, we had a nice little run there, you know. And again, the only miss that I've had in the last 25 is when Xavier Hardy flipped to South Carolina. So I think that's, let me just, I'm going to count them.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. That's 21 in a row, correct. So I got three other picks that's kind of floating out there for you. Rashawn Thomas. It's spelled much differently. It's spelled like Rashawn, but it's Rashawn Thomas. Spoke to him today. He says it's down between State and North Carolina. So I reach out to my friend that covers Carolina, and he goes, you know what, I haven't heard his name mentioned recently. But, of course, with the new staff there, you don't really know, you know. But I firmly believe he is going to be a Bulldog. And what's interesting about Rashawn, too, just kind of talking to him on the phone, he has played college football for a while now and was at Northern Illinois. So he comes down here, and he's like, holy smokes, this is what the SEC looks like? So he's blown away. You know, it's this whole ladder of awareness stuff. Like if you play at Texas A&M or you play at Florida and then you take a visit to Memphis, there's going to be a certain level of disappointment. And that's not a shot at Memphis. It's just a matter of resources, right? And so we talk about at times taking these ascending players. And Rasheen's a guy that is an ascending player. He's a guy that's done some big things in Northern Illinois. But when he comes down here and brings his cousin, he's like, dude, this is crazy. And again, visits SMU, who was in a playoff. And you can debate whether they should have been or should have been, but they are. They were. They're eliminated. And then North Carolina. So, I mean, you got some teams, you got some Power Five teams that you're competing against. And that's the first thing people think, Northern Illinois, and then you look up, he visits three Power Five schools, or Power Four, whatever we're calling these days. But I do expect him to be a Bulldog. He said he's announced his decision in the next day or two. So that'll be big. And then Will Whitson, this is another guy that I feel really good about. And crystal balled him too. And then Matt Zenitz, my friend, Matt came behind me. And just so you guys know, Matt was not my source. I don't know who Matt's source is, but he got the news of Will Whitson's decision independently of me. That's not correct. It was Chris Hummer that did that. Chris texted me this morning. And I entered Will Whitson's crystal ball last night along with Rashawn, and then this morning I get up and Chris Hummer has texted and said, hey, I'm hearing the same thing, that Will Whitson's going to go to Mississippi State. Now, Will Whitson's a guy, too. A lot of people thought he would get drafted. He was on the Senior Bowl watch list for this year, and then he gets banged up and then ultimately decides, you know what, I'm banged up. He only plays the four games, elects to go in the portal to boost his NFL draft stock. And now he'll get a chance to do that in a Power Four conference, and we fully expect that to be Mississippi State. Now, the one that's kind of got everybody talking today, you know, people were kind of excited about Will Whitson. I wouldn't say that maybe Rashawn's had the hype that maybe he deserves, but a lot of people were like, hey, well, this Will Whitson kid's good. Played at Coastal. They got killed today. But the one that's got everybody all up and down is Fluff Bothwell. And from the very beginning of the year, I don't remember who did it. Very beginning of the year, South Alabama played a big game and Fluff had a huge game. And somebody came on our message board and said, man, if this kid goes in the portal, we got to go get him. And we said, well, if he goes in the portal, you know, being a guy from Alabama, maybe he ends up at Alabama or Auburn. Now, we fully expect him to be a Mississippi State Bulldog. And again, just like Kobe Keenum, he takes the visit to Mississippi State and then leaves and goes to Ole Miss. And people are like, you know what? Here we go. Here we go again. Guys, I don't know if you have noticed, but Mississippi State has won multiple battles with Ole Miss in the portal this year and multiple battles in high school this year and junior college ranks. Maybe you hadn't done the math because all you do is listen to the social commentary. But if you go look, the majority of our junior college guys also had offers from Ole Miss. And matter of fact, Ole Miss, the first school to offer Tony Mitchell. And he comes to Mississippi State. You know, so you can go back and run the numbers yourself. But State winning some recruiting battles against Ole Miss. And I know some of you will always see that as the barometer for us. So I think it's important, you know, with so many people already forecasting failure when you find out he's going to take a visit to Ole Miss. Guys, I'm going to tell you this, based on what I was told, he really didn't want to take the visit. After visiting Mississippi State, you know, some people in his camp, he's like, hey, we've already set up the visit. So you told him you were coming, so let's go take the visit. Just kind of go check it out. And then he comes off the heels of the visit, and, you know, we feel really good about where things stand. Now, he's scheduled to announce on Christmas Day. And at the end of the day, that would kind of make some Christmases. K.J. Wright committed on Christmas Day years ago, too. Maybe you've forgotten. We've also had some others that were supposed to commit and then didn't, you know. So it's all funny how it works out. But you're just going to have to trust me on this one. I feel extremely confident in this one. And we knew what State needed to go get a running back. We were wondering if it would be Wayman Jordan. And I think, basically, if you're Wayman Jordan, you may have overplayed your hand, at least with Mississippi State. I think if Wayman Jordan had committed, then you don't take Fluff. And both of those guys are there within about 24 hours of each other. Wayman Jordan is like, I want to continue to take visits. He goes to North Carolina, and now he wants to wait and go to USC in January. There's no way you can run the risk of waiting on him. I wanted Fluff a little. I'm good either way. But Fluff is a guy that's already played a year of D1 football. So the learning curve to move up to the SEC is not going to be nearly as steep as a guy that's coming in from JUCO. And we've all talked about that all year long. I mean, like, it's one thing if it's a D1 bounce back, right? Because those guys already know how to work. And I think that's the situation with Fluff. This is a guy that's already done it and competed at a high level. And now we expect him to be a Bulldog. So that's your update. And when we come back after the top 10 list, we'll talk about a few other things, about including some Bulldogs that are headed elsewhere. And kind of what we think about that. And then we've got a pretty important basketball win that we just had. We want to talk about, too. One of the better wins that we've had in recent years. That's the thing, too, when I think about this win over Memphis. Because of the respect that I have for Memphis basketball, the fact that we went in there and beat them in their backyard says a lot about our team and our coaching staff. So, again, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I don't remember too many wins in the non-conference in recent years that have really fired up our fans like that one. That one has really galvanized the fan base. Of course, we had some big wins in conference play last year. But to get that marquee road non-conference win, look what it did to us in the net, right? It's just nuts. And now the national media is like, hey, let's talk about how good Mississippi State is. Super, super cool. All right, Tim. For today's top 10 list, if I can get that out, brought to you as always by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. They don't tell you that when you're a kid, but you're going to need a great mortgage loan officer. You need to have a resource that can help you get a good deal and get you in a home that's affordable within your means. Blair is a young man that I am very close to and think a lot of. 24 years of experience in the mortgage industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20 plus years by accident. This guy knows what he's doing. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look to Blair at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. I don't know your needs. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Maybe you've had a life reset, a relationship reset. Maybe you're having to get closer to family. I mean, I don't know. But the whole process can be made a lot easier by dealing with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Let him do some of the heavy lifting for you and take some of that stress off your plate. Nobody's going to do a better job than him. 24 years of experience, back-to-back-to-back years, top 1% close ratio. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. All settled in, but the same level of service goes with him. That's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. I stumbled upon an old favorite recently, and I sent it to the bride, and I'm like, hey, remember how good this song was? And it still holds up, too. I love it. I love it. And it's actually going to be your number one song today, but I got to thinking. about Steve Perry of Journey, one of the best rock vocalists and really vocalists of any genre of my lifetime. Not many people have the smooth stylings of Steve Perry. You know those great years with Journey? Also had the great solo album Street Talk and then The Love of Strange Medicine. Some great, great, great music has been sung by the great Steve Perry. And so I got to think and get a little deeper dive into this thing. Steve also had some duets and some solo projects and that maybe we haven't celebrated enough. And so I thought, hey, let's do that today. So here we are. Steve Perry duets and guest spots. Now, what kind of got me thinking about this is on the season album 3, you know, it's a holiday season, Steve Perry released a duet with his dad. His dad's been dead a long time, right? Well, he found a recording of his dad singing a Bobby Darin song called Call Me Irresponsible at karaoke, and somebody had recorded it, they took it, they remastered it, they made it a usable product, and then Steve sings over the top of it. It is a very haunting and chilling rendition of a song that many people don't know. But how incredible is that? That modern technology. You know, Natalie Cole and Nat King Cole, you had that, you know, with Unforgettable several years back. So this is kind of in that same vein, and I dig it. I dig it a lot. It's not what I normally listen to, but due to, I guess, maybe the nostalgia aspect of it, I really dig it. Okay, number 9, it's a track called Can't Let You Go by Jeff Golub, G-O-L-U-B, Jeff Golub, and Steve sings lead on this. And it's, again, kind of interesting. It's kind of an eclectic list, too. I don't know if you know this, but you know, Steve's done a lot of things too, like in the classical world too. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. But if you go back and do a little research yourself, The Quest for Camelot, remember that movie? It was released in the late 90s, redone here, I don't know, 20 years ago. Steve sang on a couple of those tracks too. They just didn't make our list. All right, number 8, an interesting track here from David Pack, and it's a duet, and Steve sings on this one beautifully. It's a track called A Brand New Start, and it's kind of one of these songs that the title doesn't tell the story, right? Because this relationship was part of A Brand New Start, but it didn't finish well. And I think Steve's vocals on this are absolutely outstanding. All right, number 7, a track, I think this young lady is making her top 10 debut. I know she was on a duet with Prince, maybe we featured one time. But Steve sang backup vocals on a great track called Still in Love from Sheena Easton. Sheena Easton was a, memory serves me correct, she was a Canadian import. And she showed up out of nowhere, next thing you know, she is everywhere. Super, super cool. And you know, got involved with Prince for a while, and then her music kind of changed a little bit. People were like, hey, this is this little teeny bopper girl, and all of a sudden she's singing these kind of risque songs. But I don't judge. All right, number 6, a song that I had never heard before, and I like it a lot. It's Tommy Takeoki. He is more of a Polynesian-type singer. A beautiful song, and Steve actually sings a duet on 2 songs on this album. A great track called An Angel Above Me. And what's interesting about that too, just found out that my 7th grade science teacher died at 88. I just posted about that on Facebook. I've never done a book signing in my hometown that Miss Dot Fortenberry didn't attend. And even though she ordered books online, like she would pre-order the books and get them first, she would come to every book signing to hug my neck and kiss me on cheek and tell me hello and find out how my family is. And she would stay and visit. And one day, one of the ladies that was working the book signing said, Miss Dot, do you need anything? She goes, no, I'm staying right here with Steve because I never know which of my former students may come in. And I want to visit with them too. I mean, she was a wonderful person. And there's a part of me too that I feel like, you know, I need as many cheerleaders in heaven as I can get. And I feel like I've gained one with Miss Dot's passing and wish the best to her and her family. All right, number 5, a track that maybe you've never heard from a band that you're not familiar with, but Steve actually sang lead on a couple tracks on their album. It's a band called Guff, G-U-F-F. And the track that, and he kills it, it's I Can See It in Your Eyes. Great, great song. I think you'll dig that one a lot. Number four, sometimes when I travel, I listen to the blues. And one of my favorite blues performer of this generation is Robert Cray. The Strong Persuader album, phenomenal. I can listen to it from start to finish. Absolutely, Smoking Gun's amazing. Love that track. Well, Steve actually sang along with Robert Cray on a track called Promises You Can't Keep. And again, it's about love. You know, somebody's in love with somebody else that claims to love them back, but tends to constantly get in trouble, you know, or disappoint them, breaks their heart. That's what the song is about. All right, number three. I don't know if you guys remember that Sammy Hagar used to have a great solo career prior to his time with Van Halen and 5150 and all that good stuff. Maybe you've known, maybe you didn't. But Sammy Hagar did have some cool things in his life. Y'all know I Can't Drive 55. But before the VOA album and before Three Lock Box, there was an album in 1980 called Danger Zone. Steve Perry sings backup on three of these tracks, and the one that I think is probably the one that you guys will dig the most is a track called Run for Your Life, and Steve's voice is very much present in the background. You know, it's not one of these that it's credited as background singing and you can't pick him out. You can pick him out on this one. And he and Sammy, I think, did a really good job. All right, number two, one of the greatest Journey songs of all time, and we kind of broke our own rules here. It's kind of a cover of a cover. It's, you know, it's a Journey song. It's one of the greatest love songs of all time. But back early in 2024, and we may build a top 10 list around this, maybe that's what we do tomorrow night, Dolly Parton did a rock album. Did you know about this? And there's like 30 tracks on there. And she had all these guest spots. Well, she and Steve Perry sang Open Arms as a duet to each other. Not cool as that. You know, Nikki Sixx and Motley Crue wrote a couple of the original tracks on that album. And the record went to number one. And I remember Nikki Sixx sharing on Twitter that he had gotten a text from Dolly Parton saying, hey, we have a number one record and thank you for all you did to make this possible. Not cool as that, right? One of the coolest guys in rock, working with the queen of country music, Dolly Parton, a national treasure, right? Them working together, and of course Steve Perry was on it too. And I don't know if you know, like her and Joan Jett did a rendition of I Hate Myself for Loving You. Yeah, cool stuff. Number one though, the song that was kind of the impetus for the list, because I was like, you know what, I want people to remember this song, and I shared this with Dana the other day. She didn't comment. I need to ask her about that. You know, I'm needy, right? I need my texts responded to. I'm not that needy. She may tell you otherwise, but I absolutely love this song. Love it. It's Don't Fight It with Kenny Loggins and Steve Perry. I love the guitar on it. I love the vocal on it. I love everything about it. I love the attitude in the song. There's so many great things about this. And this was a hit, you know, for Kenny. And of course, Steve Perry was beginning to kind of rise in stardom himself. And Kenny, you know, before, you know, I can't remember the name of the album, but before all of that kind of became a thing for Kenny, you know, long before, you know, that I'm looking this up while we talk, but long before you guys knew Kenny from Danger Zone and Footloose and all that, he was really kind of more of like, he was almost more like Brett. It was a lot of acoustic stuff, but the album was High Adventure. High Adventure was the album that Don't Fight It's On. But I absolutely love the song. I think you guys will too. It's probably one that's, back in the recesses of your mind, you hadn't heard it for a long time. But, you know, Kenny, man, again, had built a great anthology. And then all of a sudden, Kenny decides that he's going to play a little more rock. And you got to love that. You do. Yeah, I go back and I think about, you know, people forget this. Like, he wrote What a Fool Believes. Did you know that? Michael McDonald made so famous. It's a Kenny Loggins song. And of course, you know, Caddyshack and all that kind of stuff. I'm All Right. It's a great track from Kenny Loggins too. But yeah, I mean, be sure and check that out. I think that you'll enjoy that one. And Kenny Loggins, we've done a top 10 for him. I don't know that Kenny Loggins is properly celebrated by this generation. And I don't know why either, to be quite honest with you. Maybe your parents failed you. Kenny Loggins, the real deal, man. Remember Loggins and Messina? All you guys knew Poison, right? Oh, you didn't know it was a Kenny Loggins song? Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll? That's Kenny Loggins, baby. That's right. All hell the king. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter at Dogmatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. And follow me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. If you're not following me on Twitter or X, what are you doing with your life? How do you ever keep up? Right? If there's news to know, we're going to have it. So be sure and follow me and check me out there. And you can follow me on Facebook too under that same handle. Just click follow. I can't take any more friends, so don't hit friend requests. Just hit the follow button. All right, time for next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You do too, because they have all the latest and greatest Mississippi State merch available to you. Super cool, right? Right here in Starkville, they know what true maroon looks like. You're not going to go order a shirt and get a crimson shirt. You're going to get maroon because Kathy Brown is a bulldog and she is the buyer at Campus Bookmart. So you get Mississippi State people buying and ordering and stocking Mississippi State merchandise that you're going to love. As I've shared many times too, best selection of diploma frames in the city too. So when you get a Mississippi State graduate, buy a gift that they will keep on their walls. And it kind of, every time they look at it, they'll think of you. Right? Not that we're all narcissists, but it's nice to be remembered for doing something nice for somebody else. They're going to be open tomorrow too, so go by and check them out. And you'll be glad you did. And then when you don't get what you want for Christmas, you don't get that quarter zip you're looking for, you don't get that hoodie, you can go buy Campus Bookmart and you can buy it yourself. You deserve to have a great Christmas, even if you have to pay for it. And you can order online at campusbookmart.net. And by doing so, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR. That's your promo code. Stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Let's talk about this exciting basketball team. And we've got two teams that are playing well. And all due respect to the women, they're outstanding right now. But the win over Memphis was huge. You talk, and we talked about that preview in the game. Is like, and I expected to win, but I was like, going on the road is never easy. And to go to a top 25 team and to do them the way that we did them was a very loud victory. If we had gone up there and just won the game, people would say, hey, that was really good. Guys, we dominated this game from start to finish. Incredible. And, I get back from – I'm all over the place. I get back and watch it back on demand. I cannot even begin to imagine how amazing that atmosphere must have been. The maroon and white chant as the team leaves the floor. Are you kidding me? You guys were incredible. All you Bulldog fans that turned out and made that environment what it was, you deserve a lot of credit. Chris Jan said as much on Twitter. You guys made – we hear you and you guys made a difference. Incredible, man. It's like I go back and I think about, what's the last big non-conference win we've had like this? And I kind of struggle with that, to be honest with you. We went up last year and we beat Arizona State up in Chicago. But we know Memphis, right? We know Penny Hardaway. We've recruited against them. We understand kind of what we're up against and kind of what they're about. But, for us to go in there and just really kind of pull their pants down in front of everybody – guys, this game was tied at 5, and then, that's it. That's it. And then State just kind of took control and just choked them out. Riley Kugel with a huge game, hits a big 3 to make it 16-5. And the next thing you know, man, it's 21-6. And it just felt like, hey, we just have their number today, and we did. And what a great, great result for Mississippi State men's basketball. If you were not excited about Mississippi State men's basketball before, you should be now. Because, again, this is a statement victory. An absolute statement win. And then Penny Hardaway goes out in postgame and says Mississippi State is as good or better than any team we have played this year. We broke down the schedule. you know the quality of teams they played against. And so if you wanted to start thinking about, well, you know, it's non-conference, Steve, I don't really get excited about men's basketball to get into SEC play, get excited. Only one more non-conference game left. That comes a week from tonight against Bethune-Cookman. But let's real quickly break it down here. Josh Hubbard, 13 points, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc. Turned it over 5 times, only 1 assist. So not a great day, ball handling. And the fact that we could win a game this convincingly without Josh having like a career game says a lot about the quality, the depth on this team. Cam Matthews, honest to goodness, has there been a guy that exemplifies the Mississippi State story better than Cam Matthews? Remember, when he came in, he couldn't score. He did all the glue stuff. Like, he would set the screens, he would get the big offensive rebounds, you know, he'd be a putback guy for us, but you couldn't run any offense through him. And now you're out there and you look at him, he's like a completely different person. 12 points, hands out 6 assists, and man, State's ball movement in the post was ridiculous. Ridiculous. How many times do we take it out there in the post and then make the extra pass for a wide-open jam? And it just felt like there was nothing Memphis could do to stop us. Big night for Cam. RJ Melendez, again, kind of a glue guy, just a guy that's out there doing all the little stuff again. I love what he's doing. Gets on the floor. This kid plays hard, man. 16 points, 7 points for him. Got in a little bit of foul trouble, I guess, but again, just kind of doing all the little stuff that doesn't fill the box score. Claude Harris, just 6 points for him. And Michael Nwoko didn't score. Only played 5 minutes of action here, but you start thinking about that too, how great the Bulldog bench was. Riley Kugel, we said it early in the year. You know, early on, it was kind of like Cam and Josh carrying us a little bit. Harris would have a big game, but Kugel wasn't doing a whole lot, and we knew that it was in him. And we knew at some point he would have kind of that statement game. Well, there you go. He goes into the FedEx Forum and drops 19 on them in 26 minutes. And it seemed like every basket he had was big. Whether you're looking to maintain possession or, you know, kind of kill their momentum, it just felt like Kugel was our answer. Incredible. Keyshawn Murphy. What can we say about Keyshawn that we hadn't said already this year? He is born again hard, man. Remember, he went and got in the portal last year. They talked him out of it. 13 points, 9 rebounds to lead us. He tied with Cam Matthews with 9 boards. 34 minutes. And that's the thing I think about, too, is like, you know what? When we have to deal with a team that's going to run a lot of half-court sets and run some low-post stuff, we're gonna have issues. We are. But on the other end of it, too, Keyshawn Murphy's going to make those big guys have to run the floor because we will get out and move. And the fact, too, that Keyshawn's a guy that can beat him off a dribble a little bit, it makes a difference. We got to make him play our game. But Keyshawn, what an incredible contribution he's made to this team this year. And Sean Jones, another unheralded hero on this team. It just seems like Sean's another guy, too, another defensive stopper that gets out there and does things. And 5 rebounds and 9 points. Man, if you're going to get that stat line from Sean, you're going to win a lot of games. You truly are. And, you know, State played some younger guys late. And how rewarding is that for us to kind of empty the bench on the road? And I saw all the great tweets. My favorite one, I can't remember which one of you sent it out. They tweeted out the score and just said, "Trick whooped." And if you don't know that reference, that's from Hustle and Flow, the movie with Terrence Howard. Phenomenal. Phenomenal, in the words of Ben Howland. Great, great, great film. So be sure and check that out. Of course, our good friend Ludacris, also in there, is, you know, I can't remember his name, though. Something Black. I can't remember. But anyway, great movie. I love it. But we knew P.J. Haggerty was going to go off. He did. We knew Tyrese Hunter could make some plays for him, too. Yeah, 3-point shooter. He's 4-9. But, again, you start looking at the bench points. 15 for them, 41 for us. 38 points in the paint for the Bulldogs, 18 for Memphis. They had 23 points off turnovers, and that's a concern. We edge them out there 25. But, guys, the game was tied twice. The lead changed one time. That's it. Mississippi State dominates this game from start to finish. And I think it's really, again, kind of that, like, for those casual fans that they're a bit fair weathered. I'm not being critical, but you guys see it too, right? Especially you guys that men's basketball is your favorite sport. You complain about it too, right? It's like, man, why are we not packing out the arena when we've got such a great team? And there's a lot of people that kind of have a wait and see attitude. And I think there's some people that are always just kind of waiting for an excuse. And I thought Penny made some good comments about that too. It's like, hey, when we lose, you're not going to come back. And then we went 10 in a row, and now you're back until we lose again. You know, you need fans to be there through the tough times and the good times. You know, that's indicative of us too. You know, there's so many times that we'll have a big SEC game and we'll be 60% full. You know, we need our fans to be there to make a difference. And as great as the SEC is this year, we're going to have to hold court. I mean, here's the thing, too. If we end up being top half of the league this year, you're probably good enough to get to the Sweet 16. Because, you know, again, you can only tell so much about, you know, non-conference records. I mean, this is kind of how things work. I mean, you can never really tell, even though there are some teams within our, you know, within our league that have put together, you know, some pretty gaudy numbers so far. How many times, like, have we seen Arkansas go out there and just, you know, go undefeated in non-conference play, and then you get an SEC play and they're about a 500 team? You know, that's happened to us at times before too. But kind of real quickly here, looking at kind of how things stand in men's basketball, just kind of the quality of the league right now. And I think there's a good chance that the SEC has a chance to be the top RPI basketball conference when it's all said and done because of some of these non-conference wins that we've had. Still got to beat the ACC, though. So Florida right now, 12-0. Oklahoma, 12-0. Tennessee, 11-0. Auburn, 11-1. Georgia, 11-1. Ole Miss, 11-1. State, 11-1. Vandy, 11-1. And then from there, Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, LSU, Missouri, Texas, A&M, all those 10-2. The quote, worst team in our league is South Carolina, who's 9-3, and they've won six games in a row. Yeah, so again, not sure what we can surmise from that at this point, but the reality of it is that it's going to be a very interesting year in the Southeastern Conference, and we're going to need to hold serve at home, and that involves you. And I know some of you are you know, hardened Bulldog basketball fans, and you'll make those road trips when they're in a reasonable driving distance. And some of you do it even more. But it's important to understand that there's a partnership here, right? A lot of people get so hung up on, well, these guys are getting paid now. You still need to do your part as a fan. And that's turn out and go cheer for the Bulldogs. And there are a lot of you, of course, I know that can't do that. So you have to watch online or, you know, you watch on the ESPN app. But this is a team that is worthy of your support and your respect. And I think it says so much about Chris Jans. And you talk to people on campus and they'll tell you, you know, Jans is just such a confident person. He just doesn't listen to any of the outside noise. None of that matters to him. He just doesn't care. You know, he's going to go do his thing, and that's how life's going to be. And if he wins, he's going to win his way. And if he loses, he's going to lose his way. But he's not going to go out there and conduct an opinion poll of how to act and that sort of stuff. And I respect that. All the great coaches have that level of confidence. And so, reminder, a week from tonight, December 30th, roundup and non-conference game. It's an 8 p.m. tip. It will be on the SEC Network. It will be against Bethune-Cookman. When we get closer to that, we'll preview that for you. But, again, a game that we expect to win. And the next thing you know, man, SEC play is here January 4th. And then we kind of get into that rotation, right? You know, the Tuesday night, Saturday night deal. Occasionally we'll play on Wednesday for TV purposes. But, yeah, you're going to get two games a week, and it's going to be easy to kind of fall into a rhythm here. And people say, well, you know, Steve, what does the schedule look like in the SEC? Well, every schedule in the SEC is difficult. I mean, it really is. You know, South Carolina coming in here is good, but you got to go to Vanderbilt, you know, and that hadn't always been the easiest place for us to play. You got to go to Auburn. It's going to be tough. Always is. Got to go to Knoxville. It's going to be tough. Got to go to South Carolina. We got to find a way to win that game. You got to go to Athens, Georgia. got to go to Oxford, and that's February 15th, too. And that's a baseball weekend, but you need to be planning ahead now. We need to go in there and take over that arena. We absolutely do. We got to go to Oklahoma. Got to go to Alabama. And so there's some reasonable trips. We close out the regular season at Arkansas. And we could be playing for something significant then. But I really like this team. They're so much fun to watch. Their enthusiasm is great. Like, it's infectious. And I think all of you kind of feel the same way that I do. I mean, again, a lot of people just kind of cheer for the logo. Like, whatever we're winning at, I'm going to support that because I want to see Mississippi State win. But it's been a long time since we've had a basketball team that we just really felt like we're capable of going out and winning at any point against anybody. You're going to be in every game. And I think that's the thing with Chris Jans that has built such trust within the fan base is we know he's going to have a game plan that is a victorious game plan. It's just going to be a matter of, hey, can we execute? You know, I go back and I think about maybe this is the first time since maybe 2019 we felt this way. And we got upset in the first round by Liberty. But then, you know, that's the Reggie Perry, you know, Quindary team. You know, we felt like we could match up with anybody. And Tennessee gave us some trouble that year. But by and large, we felt like every time that we took the floor, we had a chance to win. This is what that feels like to me. I don't know how it feels for you, but I'm beginning to develop that same level of confidence. And so more times than not, you're thinking, hey, we're going to lose. I'm not going to go. Well, right now, I think it's you start thinking, hey, we got a chance to win, and I want to be there to see it. Switching over to the women here, the women, of course, 11-1, 12-1, excuse me, have won four in a row. Of course, our only loss was the tightly contested 78-75 game at Georgia Tech. We had a chance to win that one late, too. But, we've kind of been doing some interesting stuff. Been a while since we've been at the hump. We were at Chicago State, win that game by 60. We go to Tupelo, win by 3. Remember how crazy that thing was? Win by 8 at Monroe, and then we go to Princess and Maryland to take on Maryland Eastern Shore. We beat them by 18. So the long-awaited return to Humphrey Coliseum, the very first time that Mississippi State has played on the women's side in Humphrey Coliseum since November 20th. Yeah, right? November 20th. It has been forever and a day since we have been home. And so that's 8 consecutive games away from our home gym. And I think that will pay some dividends late. Of course, we had a couple games on a neutral floor. But the reality of it is, it's been a long time since Sam Purcell's ladies have had some home cooking. And that'll be South Carolina State next Sunday. But, again, you got to feel good about the direction of both teams. You got to feel good about how everything is going. I do, and I hope that you guys do as well. I think right now, honestly, and, of course, football is one of those things. When football isn't great, it kind of has us, you know, kind of holding our breath a little bit. But we're making some steps to turn that around. But the reality of it is I think we're pretty healthy outside of that. You know, soccer set history this year, and I think that trajectory will continue with Zimmerman being involved. And then you look up and you got one game left in a non-conference slate for the men and the women, and you've lost one game the entire year. The men lose to Butler, the ladies on the road to Georgia Tech. You know, and so I think there's a lot of optimism and things to feel good about if we choose to. On the women's side, too, we kind of talked about how, you know, it's a little bit like the men, but it's not as dramatic because half the teams in the league struggled in non-conference. Now, the cream of the crop so far, you know, guys, LSU 14-0. Yeah, Kim Mulkey, you expect that. Tennessee 11-0. Alabama's 12-1 along with us in Texas and Vanderbilt. And then Oklahoma, South Carolina 11-1. Kentucky's 10-1. And we got to go up there early in the slate. And then it gets a little dicier. Auburn's 9-3. Ole Miss is 8-3. Missouri 10-4. Florida 8-5. And meant to drop 4 or 5 non-conference games. What are you facing in the SEC? Florida's 8-5, A&M 7-5, Georgia 7-6, Arkansas 6-8, losers of 3 in a row. You got a losing record coming out of the non-conference. You may be preparing for a coaching change. It's terrible. But we play in a Southeastern Conference. You know, we understand that every game you have to bring it, every single one of them. There aren't going to be games that we can just kind of show up and go through the motions at any point. Those players get free school just like ours do, and everybody's getting the now money on top of it. There's a reason those players are in the position that they're in. Those are the things that I think that we need to recognize. We're not good enough on any night to just show up and play less than our best. And you're going to have some games maybe when you don't shoot it well, but the effort's always got to be there. And I think with these two coaches, that's always going to be the case. That's how I feel about it. Maybe you feel differently. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We'll be staying there in about a week. Can't wait. Have all the kids under one roof and the six-bedroom now completed. So it's now a six-bedroom, two-bath castle in many respects. One of the nicest places in Starkville and certainly the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you bring a large group to town. Again, six bedrooms, two baths, the full-service kitchen, that great living room area, the wet bar, that huge back porch area, the fire pit area. So many things to get excited about. And you know sometimes, too, when you bring a big group and you want to spread out, you're going to be able to do that there. How cool is that? And so whether you're bringing a work group, a friend group, a family group to town, they can accommodate you. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. And there are also some booking options that are going to come up. You can Airbnb it or you can VRBO, completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Get 10% off your stay when you stay at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Super cool place. Go check it out yourself. Again, I've had some friends stay there, and they absolutely loved it. I went out there and broke bread with them for a day, and I've took the tour up there. But we'll get a chance to spend a night there, and we'll have a firsthand testimonial that we can share with you. How about that? Right? You need to make your own plans and be planning ahead. You'll be thinking about baseball ball game weekends. Maybe you think about it. Instead of getting five hotel rooms or three and four Airbnbs, just get the one place. Everybody just kind of pull the resources together and stay at a super cool place just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Think how simple that is. 5 minutes away, you can do your tailgating right there. Go to the ball game, come back, plop in on the couch, turn on the TV, you know, put some food up, whatever you want to do. No better place to stay in the Golden Triangle than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, let's kind of catch you up on the outgoing traffic. There haven't been any new entrants into the portal. Of course, you've got still 5 days, you know, before that happens. And then there's always, you know, the lag sometimes. You know, we saw that with Stone Blunt last year. Like he filled out the proper paperwork, and it took South Carolina forever because they took the holidays to kind of get all that situated with him. But Mississippi State pretty good about getting things processed quickly. But not a lot of traction so far with Jacoby Albert that we've seen. So nothing to really report him. Leon Bell, however, got about 20 offers. Yeah, and he was the guy, too, that, you know, we had some, you know, we were really excited about, you know. Got dismissed from the team. But, yeah, mainly G5 offers for him. But he is a guy that we do expect to land somewhere. I know Cal was involved with him, Tulsa, some other schools, Western Kentucky. Many others, but he is a guy that will certainly have some opportunities. Not all sure where he's visited yet, but yeah, again, a guy that we took kind of as a project, and it didn't really work out for us, but he has a lot of natural ability. Linebacker Ty Cooper, we've mentioned before, Tulane, great guy too, and hoping for the best for Ty Cooper. Kevin Coleman, of course, headed to Missouri, no news there, and we knew before he even officially entered the portal, that's where he was going to go. As soon as it was mentioned on jeanspage.com that he was leaving, I told everybody he's going to Missouri. Of course, some people wanted to argue with me. But, yeah, he's headed to Missouri, back home, for school in 4 years. I wish he was here. I do. Casey's a great guy and a great player. And you like it when it's that combination. Mario Craver, headed to Texas A&M. It'll be interesting to see how he kind of acclimates there. He had some issues here at Mississippi State, And maybe he's learned his lesson. Maybe he'll go over there and fly straight and just kind of focus on football. You know, we'll see. He has a ton of ability. Linebacker Jave Gilmore, not a lot of traction with him right now. I do think he'll land somewhere, but he is a, you know, a bigger physical guy. For some reason or another, it never really came together here at Mississippi State. Antonio Harmon now headed to Marshall. Marshall should probably sign all these guys that are still out there. You know, just about everybody in the Marshall football program entered the transfer portal once Charles Huff accepted a job at Southern Miss. And so perhaps it's a good spot for Antonio. And I know he wants to simply get on the field. He didn't play a snap for us this year. Played extensively for us last year as a tight end in a Kevin Barbet offense, but nothing really happened this year. And you recall there were some people that, you know, thought he was one of the top prospects in the state that year. Foot speed was always a little bit of a concern. I like him as a flex tight end. And if he'll embrace that, I think that he is a guy that can make some plays, and certainly the G5 level. Again, another great guy. I wish him the best. News, too, kind of a surprise to some people. J.J. Harrell headed to Arkansas State to play for Butch Jones. And I'm a J.J. fan. I wish he would stay. I really do. I think if J.J. would have been a little more patient with the process, you know, he was a little bit banged up in the spring. And kind of got some word back then that he was unhappy. And then you get into the season, and there are four freshmen that play ahead of him, and he was the guy that kind of helped keep the team together. You know, I'm not going to sit here and second-guess that, but I probably would have found a way to get him some snaps because I do think he has some ability. But, but you go out there and you see Stonka Burnside playing, you see Mario Craver playing, and San Francisco McGee playing, and even Ricky Johnson playing, and then you're not playing – you got to think, well, maybe this staff isn't for me. You know, I do think if he had been patient, things would have been okay. But headed to Arkansas State, and as one of our astute posters pointed out, kind of gives him the opportunity to go in there and turn some numbers and maybe in a year or two then re-enter the portal and maybe land with a bigger program and perhaps a bigger payday than he's going to get there. But I do wish J.J. the best. He is a great young man. Wish him the absolute greatest of success moving forward. Linebacker Tobias Hinton signed with Alcorn State. No real surprise there, too. And he's a guy, again, with no college snaps under his belt. And he's a little bit undersized as a linebacker. Wasn't going to get a ton of action or traction. I think he probably could have held out and gotten a little better opportunity than he's getting with Alcorn State. But I think that's just a guy that's like, I got to get on the field somewhere. I want to be able to play. I put in all this work, and I haven't had to pay off for it yet. Commend him on his decision. Wish him the best. Radar Jones, not really much traction there. You remember, Radar was a quarterback on that Horn Lake team that won the state championship and picked LSU over Ole Miss late. Went to LSU, didn't play, got in some academic trouble, had to come up here and sit out the spring, and the next thing you know, he's eligible and ready to go. But never really made a contribution at Mississippi State. Safety Christopher Keys, no real traction there yet either. He is a guy, too, that can play multiple safety spots. I'm sure he will land somewhere. I don't think it'll be in the Power Four. Linebacker John Lewis, guy that looks like $1 million, but not a lot on tape. And this is a guy that saw his production and his snap count diminish this year. And I don't think that was just a change in scheme. This is a guy you took to SEC Media Days, and then he barely gets on the field. You remember he was famously quoted is saying it's going to be difficult to score on us. Well, it wasn't. I don't think that's got anything to do with his lack of playing time. I just think that he's a guy that just didn't have a true position in his scheme. Defensive tackle Gabe Moorhead in Nebraska. Wish him the best. Very talented guy. Loved him out of high school at Louisville and really thought he had a chance to play here. And, again, missed the year with a non-football-related ailment. Hopefully they've got that under control. Trent Hudson was committed to Liberty and then flipped to Vanderbilt yesterday. So he'll be back in the Southeastern Conference, and that'll be interesting. You don't see a lot of that, right? You don't see a lot of guys sign an FAA and then flip. And maybe a situation where Trent wanted to make sure he had something, and Liberty's got some incredible facilities. If you've been by there, you'll know that. But a chance to get back in the SEC. And, I think Trent's a guy, too, that probably could have helped us a little bit this year. I don't know the full story about why he didn't play more. But I know that he made a decision to go into the redshirt very early in his process. Listed as one of the first team wideouts and then barely got on the field. Chris Parson headed to Austin Peay. I think he's better than that, but I think it's also kind of like J.J. gives him a chance to maybe go in there, win the job, put up some big numbers, and then maybe in a year or two, put himself in a position to be a more valued portal prospect, a quarterback. I was learned earlier today, Jeffrey Pittman announced by Southern Miss as a signee. Of course, he got his degree from Mississippi State, so he's effectively a grad transfer, and he's a guy from Taylorsville, Mississippi, and I liked him a lot. I really thought he was a good player. I don't know all the details about the off-the-field incident that led to him not being with the football team this year. Hope that all that is behind him, but we'll see him week one. We head down to Hattiesburg, and you know he's the guy that'll be jacked up to play against us. Bryce Pollock, of course, Texas Tech. Darcell McBath is there. No real surprise there. McKellen Pounders headed to Louisville, and Kamari Rogers to Jackson State. And I don't see the Kamari situation the same way that I do Chris or JJ, because Kamari's got a little more mileage on him. And, of course, with those two ACL injuries, I think mainly with Kamari, you just want to go play football. You know, sometimes it's that simple. You just want to go play. You want an opportunity to go play. And there's a lot of these guys that are not going to get a big NIL deal. And I think Kamari's a guy, too, that feels like I can get on the field, maybe show what I can do. Maybe that turns into something more. Haven't heard much on Marcus Ross, Amari Smith, or Eric Taylor. Marcus is a guy that we signed late last year, and I thought at the very least he would be a good reserve linebacker and a special teams guy for us. And just we just didn't see much happen with him. And he was a guy that really wanted to play. He's a guy that wanted to stay and was basically processed out. We needed to go find some bigger linebackers. We had to go find some SEC guys. And he was a guy that I think we signed last year really kind of as a depth piece, just kind of hoping that he would turn into something. Unfortunately, it didn't, but a great young guy. I wish him the best. Michael Van Buren, you know, that's well documented, headed to LSU, and, of course, Greg Whittemore headed to Utah. So, you know, only a handful of players now still left to make their decision. I think it's 10 of the 26 that are still waiting. Of course, Rayfield Lawton's a walk-on tight end that's in the mix there, too. But, yeah, over half of the outgoing players have made their decision. And I want to go over a couple things with you guys, too, just to kind of keep you abreast. Now, the portal, again, will close officially on the 28th. That's the last day to enter. It's not the last day to decide. And every year we go through this, and there's always people that don't seem to understand that. They do not have to declare their intentions of enrolling somewhere by the 28th. They just simply have to declare their intent to transfer. They have to enter the transfer portal officially and notify compliance, whether in writing, by text, or by email, that I want to go in the transfer portal. And then the compliance officers take it from there. Now, basically, we've got about a month to figure out these final spots. It's true. Because of the fact, number one, we're in a dead period now. That began today. That'll run through the 5th. And so there can be no in-person recruiting. On campus or off campus, and I put up earlier no face-to-face recruiting. Somebody says, what about FaceTime and Zoom? Well, yes, obviously. Yes, that's not technically face-to-face. Yes, you can see their face, but you can't have in-person recruiting during a dead period. But, of course, those prospects are still communicating with your coaches and vice versa, you know, over the phone, through text messages, DMs, that sort of stuff. So we're going to have official visitors back on campus basically as soon as the dead period ends. And you've got about a half dozen or so spots left to fill. We know one of those is going to be a running back, and we feel like we have a really good idea of who that running back is going to be. And it's going to be, we think it's going to be Fluff Bothwell. I was the first in the industry to crystal ball him to Mississippi State. Matt Zenitz came out about an hour later, and that always makes me feel good. And then Dave Johnson from Ole Miss, who he visited Ole Miss yesterday, Dave Johnson, after business hours today, after 5, Dave jumps in and also crystal balls him. So you know, maybe, and I saw some guys on Twitter saying I would have felt better if David crystal balled him to Ole Miss. Dave's a good guy, and I think basically this is kind of a white flag. And I think everybody kind of saw it going this way, to be honest with you. Even on the Ole Miss side, I think they kind of realized there were some people that even wondered if he would take the visit to Ole Miss. But I think when you have an agent involved, and they make commitments to schools, they want their clients to show up because of the fact that how else could a school trust them moving forward? It's like, hey, you committed before he made a decision that he would take a visit here. He didn't. we can't do business with you moving forward, right? I mean, and that's how you get a bad reputation in the industry. And I think that that visit more or less was a courtesy visit, and that's not taking a shot at Ole Miss. I just think that Fluff knew where he wanted to go before he even left Starkville. And I'm told the family certainly knew where they wanted to go because they understand, number one, it's closer to home, but also, two, he has a chance to be the featured back in the Mississippi State offense. And that's not really anything that Ole Miss could offer him, honestly. So they got some people coming back, you know, and so a little more crowded depth chart there. And that's, you start thinking about the Mississippi State thing. You know, people are like, well, you know, Steve, do we have a guy at the portal? I don't know that we can afford to have a running back at the portal. Even if Davin Booth is able to come back. And that's one thing we need to talk about, too. You know, that there's the one-year waiver on this JUCO thing. Any JUCO guy that exhausted their eligibility this year is going to be granted another year. So for us, that's Kelly Akari and Davin Booth. That process has already begun to apply for those waivers. They haven't been granted yet. We don't expect there to be any issue. They'll be reviewed. You'll have time to come back. And that maybe changes your recruiting plan just a bit, especially if you're Mississippi State. We were expected to get 2 to 3 more receivers in this class. I think if Kelly Akari is able to come back, and he's tweeted out the Instagram post, you know, that, you know, dog walk, you know, that's one less receiver you have to take. Now, if Booth comes back, and we certainly expect that to be the case, granted he's given the waiver, when you think about our running back room, throughout the year we had issues, right? Back in the spring, Jeff Lebby said, we've got to get better at running back. Well, then Jeffrey Pittman is dismissed, right? He's not with the team. Kevon Leadon goes down. And so basically, and Seth Davis, of course, you know, tears his the ACL in the 2022 Egg Bowl, or 2023 Egg Bowl, and he would have loved to have come back this year, but the right decision was made to give him the full year. But you can't bank on that. We think Seth's an explosive player. I love Seth. I think Seth fits better in this offense than he did in the air raid. But I think this is a scenario, too, where you can't bank on that, right? You can't bank on Seth Davis being a game-breaker next year. And certainly not being a lead guy. That's not a criticism of him, but you can't bank. You never know when there's going to be a setback. Everything we've heard is he's on pace and doing well. But you've got to upgrade the talent in that room. And let's be honest, it took Davin Booth kind of half a year to figure it out. And so you'd love to have him back because now that he's kind of figured out how to compete in the Southeastern Conference, it makes it better. And Johnny Daniels, a good complimentary back. I don't think Johnny's ever going to be the featured back. But Levy likes to play, you know, 3 to 4 backs. We want to be a running team. You know, we're going to take chunk plays and throw it down the field, but we want to kind of spread you out running the football. There's some elements of the Dan Mullen offense in this thing, too, as far as numbers in the box go. So we'd like to get numbers in the box that are favorable to us and get behind the big offensive line and just kind of move the chains, right? So that's something to be thinking about, too. So a running back, wide receiver, or two, if for something happens with Akari, you could see maybe as many as 3, but I think it's probably going to settle somewhere around 2. Got to get another offensive lineman out there. You picked up a couple yesterday. Interior guys. We talked about we'd probably take a center guard and tackle. Well, I think we've taken the center guard. We'd like to get another tackle. I think that makes sense. And maybe there you got a flex guy that could play right tackle, but also maybe help you out on the interior. That's part of the thing, too. And you feel like with Albert Reese coming back and you got Jacoby Jackson to work with and, of course, Luke Work. You know, you feel like that you've got the pieces there, but you basically got to have nine offensive linemen every SEC ball game at a minimum, right? So I think that's where you go. And I think, again, there are two more defensive line commitments that I'm expecting right now. And then Matt Zenitz is suggesting that he thinks that Reed is going to transfer in from Auburn. I haven't heard that yet. We haven't spoken to him. But I think you're in a scenario now where – you feel like you got to get 2 more. If you get 3, I think with State's problems on the D-line this year, I think you got to. If you get 3 good ones that want to come, I think you have to take them. I think that's the case. I think you have to take those 3 if they want to come. And that be those 3 being, Will Whitson, Rashawn Thomas, and Reed. I think you have to take them if they want to come. I think we're done at linebacker unless a difference maker just comes along. You know, if Mekhi Hill-Grant wanted to come, you'd take him, but he goes to Alabama. You got to get a corner. You got to replace Bryce Pollock. I think we're probably done at safety. But if a game breaker comes along, you got to take him. You know, and we've got to improve our talent level. I think our corners played better as the year went on. And I don't know that Corey Bell got credit for that. Corey Bell, I thought, did a good job recruiting. The only guy on that defense that I would say right now that I would really stand on the table for would be Corey Bell. He got some guys to come with him late when he joined the staff, and I think that group got better as the year went along. I know some people are rolling your eyes right now. How many times do we have to go out there and cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds? You know, we had no pass rush this year. And so I think those guys are probably better than maybe meets the eye. We'll see how things go. But, yeah, there's going to be a best available spot you probably keep too. But, again, Levy said 15 on signing day, and we were kind of like, eh. We were expecting 20, low 20s, and now you're at 14. So you feel, again, running back, offensive tackle, couple wide receivers gets you to 4. And then you start thinking about the rest of this thing. You already got 2 defensive linemen you're expecting. Maybe you take one more and then a DB. And then you're probably done. You start putting those numbers together, that math together, that gets you to 22-ish. So we got plenty to do, but we're going to take a bit of a break now. Of course, there may be some guys that announce decisions between now and the end of the week. Fluff Bothwell says that he plans to announce his decision on Christmas Day. Discussed that earlier in the show. Will Whitson, I'm told, is very close to making his decision. And Rashawn Thomas told me today, probably in the next day or two. Felt like he needed to sleep on it just to be sure he had everything right. So we could wake up tomorrow and have a couple of commitments on Christmas Eve and then get a big running back on Christmas. And all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, now we can relax a little bit. The staff will be right back to work after the Christmas holidays. It's not the same level of urgency. Right? Because you're not having to book flights and make hotel accommodations. You're just recruiting, right? You're just doing some recruiting. You're not having to host visitors and things like that until we get into January. So by the time we get to January, I think we'll be fairly laser focused, you know, on maybe 10 guys or so for those final few spots. And then you bring those guys in, because if you're going to sign 20, you got to bring like 40 in or 45 in to visit, right? You got to recruit almost double what you expect to sign to get those guys, because you may hit a cold spell, right? And I think this staff has done a good job, and I think you look at it, and it's pretty clear that Mark Vottler and the staff had a plan. They knew who they wanted to target early. I mean, we almost forget the fact that Jerron Manning joined the class basically as soon as the portal opened. You know, and that's a guy that I don't think people are talking about enough. He kind of gets buried in the discussion. Oh, he played at a G5 school. He's at JUCO. Product, you know, and so we don't know what to expect. That guy lit up that conference. And so I think, again, I like where we are. We're not done yet. And I think once we get Fluff in the boat, I think people will feel even better. And Josh Moten is a guy out there at corner, that another highly rated guy, one of the best conference USA corners, or Sun Belt, I guess they are now. But nevertheless, we're on some good dudes. We just got to finish. And Dwight Lewis, I interviewed him again today. We had a visit story with him yesterday, but he sent out a tweet kind of detailing his journey. And I had to reach out. I said, you know, we need to amplify his message. This is a guy that was very lightly recruited out of high school, took an NAIA opportunity, put together a great 23 season. Some people thought he should go in the portal. He elected to stay and play with his friends. Now he's married, got a kid on the way. It's like, hey, I want to go make sure I can do it and play at the D1 level. Because let's be honest, they're not drafting a kid out of the NAIA. Not going to happen. It's a guy that set the school record for interceptions at Marion. And so he'll have an opportunity to come in, do some good things, whether it be here or somewhere else. He tells me he's got a final three of Arizona, Wisconsin, and Mississippi State. But if you had a chance to read that story, and it's a free story, you should go check it out. It's a guy that I'm going to root for no matter where he goes. I'd love for him to be a Bulldog. But the reality of that is not everybody can be, and not everybody wants to be. But we're in a good place, and we've got about a month to finish this thing up. We have done a great thing out of the gate. We have done a really good job the first 2 weeks of the portal. It's crazy to think about it. It feels like it's been open forever. It's been open 2 weeks today. Now we have the dead period, and just about everybody we've offered in that first wave has committed except for a handful of guys, and we're expected to get about half of them. And then we'll see what happens as guys enter the portal as their seasons end and their bowl games are over. Like wide receiver Cam Vaughn from Jacksonville State. He was supposed to visit on Sunday. They played a bowl game on Friday. And then you got back on Saturday and just couldn't pull it together in time. You know, we'll host him shortly after the dead period ends. But again, we're on some dudes. We're on some dudes. And many of you were like, hey, you know, Steve, we got to get Power 5 players. I mean, it's, hey, Steve, I love these early commitments like Jerron Manning, but he's from Old Dominion. Steve, Javon Williams is from Kennesaw State. I mean, come on now, Steve, help us out here, right? And now all of a sudden you look up and you got 14 commitments, and over half of them are from Power 5 programs. So my hope is that you're satisfied with that. You know, the staff is being thorough, working the G5 ranks to get ascending players and maybe getting some guys that have been underutilized in the Power 5. So, again, like where we are, but some room to move. I'll be back tomorrow night because I love you, and I know many of you will be traveling, and I'll need something to do anyway, right, here on Christmas Eve. Probably the first Christmas Eve I can remember being by myself for the most part. That's not true. I guess 2022 when I was so miserable when you guys were tired of me whining. I got in the car and drove to New Mexico, so Dan and I wouldn't be alone for Christmas. But listen, if you don't listen to tomorrow night's show or Wednesday morning show before Christmas, let me tell you this. I love each and every one of you, and I want you and your families to have a great Christmas, no matter what holiday you celebrate. It's making a difference to me. I could be wrong, but I celebrate Christmas, right? But I respect your beliefs and your traditions. I just want you guys to have some great family time. And one of the greatest gifts that you can give somebody is forgiveness. So if you're at odds with somebody, maybe reach out on Christmas, let them know you're thinking about them, and maybe begin to repair some relationships. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.